Good morning, church. You're all well this morning. God's good, isn't he? All the time. Amen. Well, my name is Roy Rubelak. I am one of the pastors from Hill City Church here in Abbotsford. I've been part of the pastoral team there for 45 years. And we're just so thankful that God is building his church and here in Abbotsford, and we're just so thankful to be part of it. My beautiful wife down there, Betty, we've been married for 48 years and have two daughters and nine grandchildren, and we have a great grandchild on the way. I know I only look 50, but you know, with God, all things are possible. I'll be 70 this year, so thank God for the wonderful life that we have in him. I am just so thankful to be able to be here this morning, and we are very happy to be here. We thank Pastor Ryan for the opportunity. Met him for the first time in person this morning. I know some of the people here. I know the Torrios. Good to see you this morning. Maybe there's others here as well. Thank you so very much. We appreciate the hospitality that we have sent so far. We thanks to Robert for putting the PowerPoint together that you'll see this morning, and Jacinta for just kind of directing us along the way in different things. So thank you so very much. And so we are just very happy to be here this morning. I've been part of Hill City Church for 45 years. I've been a Christian all my life. I grew up in a Christian home at the age of six, accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, and just grew up in the wonderful presence of God in Glad Tidings, Vancouver, for 25 years, and then moved out to Abbotsford when we were 25 years old. And I've only known one way to live, and that's to live for Jesus. You know, that's the best way, isn't it? You know, I grew up in the atmosphere of the Jesus movement of the 60s and 70s. We saw all that happen, free love and all that. But you know, God preserved myself and my siblings. There were six of us in our family. And we had a praying mom and a praying dad that always made sure that we went to church. And we just kind of grew up in the house of the Lord in the wonderful atmosphere and presence of God. And I just cherish that. I don't have a testimony that says I went through the dregs of drugs and through the ditches of mire and all that. My testimony is I've been a Christian all my life. And I'm happy to share that testimony because it's a miracle of the grace and mercy and love of God that can preserve people. And I just thank God for that. As I said already, with God, all things are possible. God's a God that loves and cares and works with us. And I just wanted to let you know a little bit of who we are. And growing up at Hill City under our then senior pastor, Dave McElhose, I came in and Betty and I came in, and we were novices, we were rookies in the realm of ministry, but we knew God had called us. And we journeyed with him for about 29 years before he turned over and commissioned Pastor Mitch to take over the leadership. And so now that was in 2004, so the last 16 years, Pastor Mitch has been my senior pastor, and I just glad to be part of the ministry team now around him, serving him. When we were first married, God called us into ministry. The prophetic word went over us, and he just said I've given you a pastor's heart. Of course, in my mind, it conjured up, okay, I'm going to have my own church one day. That was the scenario that I had in my mind. But as I journeyed with Pastor Dave and served on the pastoral team, and we did, you know, I did everything that a pastor would do except one thing. The buck didn't stop with me. And I thank God for that. Anyways, I journey with him, and God developed that pastor's heart. But one of the things that the Lord said to me in our prophetic word over us when we were first married in 1972, he says, I'm going to send you out, and I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to send you out, and I'm going to bring you back. I didn't understand. We didn't understand what that meant. But as we journeyed on, and as Pastor Dave came closer to the time of commissioning someone else to take over, I said to him, Pastor Dave, when it comes to you making a short list, I don't want to be on that short list, even though I've been your right-hand man and everybody probably expects it. But I know there's something in my heart that God really wants me to do. And that's to fulfill that part of the prophetic word that said, you're going to go out and you're going to come back. And so in 1989, that prophetic word began to be fulfilled. And what happened was I led my first mission team into Mexico. And then for the next 10 years, I guess it was, I would take different youth teams into different areas of Mexico. That was the beginning of the coming and the going. But that's not where it stopped. What happened was, from that point on, God began to link me up with pastors in some in Mexico, for instance. So in 2000, we went for 4 months and camped there and began to minister with churches. And God began to make it clearer and clearer in my mind what our ministry was. Because I am a pastor, I began to have a passion and a burden for pastors and for leaders and for churches. And in 2004, we did our first trip into Peru, and I've been going into Peru now for the last 16 years, working with the same pastors, coming alongside of them, and we raising and holding up their hands and encouraging them and strengthening them and blessing them and encouraging the church. And then into El Salvador, my translator that travels with me out of Hill City, he is from El Salvador, and he had many contacts there. And so into El Salvador we went, and for the last 13 years or so, we've been traveling into El Salvador, ministering to pastors and churches and leaders. And the Lord has opened up doors in Jamaica and in Moldova and other areas around the world as well. Why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this so you know where I'm coming from this morning. I'm a pastor, and you're God's church. My heart is to strengthen churches. That's our motto in our ministry. Strengthening churches to affect your world for the glory of God. You and I know we all need to be encouraged, and we need to be strengthened. We need to be inspired. We need to be challenged along the way. It's very easy. We can get into ruts and into situations. It's very easy to get into our comfort zones. We don't like to be challenged. We don't like to be stretched. We don't like to get involved in things that we're not comfortable with. Been there, done that, know what that's like. But you know, when God calls, He wants us to be faithful to the call that He places upon us. And so that's why I'm here this morning. I just, when the opportunity came for us to, if we wanted to come and minister, I just felt, yeah, this is God's church. This is God's people. And that, Lord, that's the burden You placed upon our hearts. My wife and I, our heart is to encourage and to bless and to strengthen and to lift up the hands of pastors. And so that's what we want to do this morning. As I think of Grace Church, as I said, I've been in the community 45 years. I've seen this place many, many times. And I think this is the first time we've been here. I don't remember if we've been here for any funerals or weddings or things like that, but I believe the first time we've been here. So we count it a real privilege and opportunity to be here, and we are very thankful for this opportunity. As I was praying last night and just thinking, going over what I wanted to share with you, this thought came to me about Grace Church. Grace Church is just not another church in our community. Our community is known as the Bible Belt and even the buckle of the Bible Belt. It's, you know, it's many churches here. And it was just like the Lord downloaded that thought to me. Grace Church is just not another church in the community. It has a significant part. You have a significant part to play in the body of Christ. Each and every one of us are part of the body of Christ. And you, if you take a look at the natural body, you see that many parts, they all are unique. They all have different jobs. They all have different responsibilities. They all have different strengths. They're all, you know, some more important than others, but we are still all important. And that was a thought that the Lord just dropped in my heart. It's just not another church. It is a significant key. And I just want to encourage us this morning. We're going to talk about the church under construction to help us understand that we have a distinct function, that we are important no matter who we are. This is a question I like to ask people when we talk about the church. I'm going to ask you this question right now, and you can talk back to me. Who is the church?
We are.
Okay. I heard we are. You're right. But I also heard a better answer. I am. See, when we say we are the church and we are right, when it comes to some of the directives that God gives us in the Word of God to His church, there are some directives we don't like. And so if we say we are the church, we think, oh, someone else will do that. So we kind of hide amongst the stuff. We are the church. They over there will do it. I'm just going to be here. But when we say, I am the church, oh, it takes on a whole different tenor, doesn't it? I am the church. Go into all the world. I have to go into all the world. And I say, where is the world? Wherever my feet take me. God's directive to me is go into your world and share the gospel. Whatever directive He gives us as a church, we need to personalize that to help us to grasp and walk in His purposes that He has for us and to reach the destiny that He has for us. Amen? So I want to bring a God word. I call it a God word for you this morning. And I'm going to share along the way something else that the Lord just kind of laid in my heart for you as a church this morning. So I'm going to talk about the church under construction. If we see ourselves as the church, I am the church, let's take these scriptures personally and let's apply them to ourselves and let us be encouraged. I mean, being part of the body of Christ is one fantastic life, if I can put it that way. There's no better place to be than in the body of Christ, working and doing, fulfilling what He has called us to do and fulfill. Because my desire is this, at the end of the line, I want to stand before the throne of God to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And each and every one of us are servants in the kingdom of God. And I'm sure that's our desire. We want to hear Him say, well done. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The thing I don't want to hear Him say, sorry, I never knew you. Don't serve the one you served while you were on earth. And so we need to be challenged and understand our role in the body of Christ. Look at these introductory scriptures. I'm going to read four of them. They're going to probably flash up there in this whole realm of helping us understand that we as the church are under construction. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3:16-17. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple, and that God's Spirit lives in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him, for God's temple is sacred. That's me. And you. And you are that temple. Psalms 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. And 1 Corinthians 3:10-11. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds. What we do with this responsibility that God has placed in us. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. This collection of people is not Pastor Ryan's people. The collection of people at Hill City Church is not Pastor Mitch's people. They are God's people. They are God's church. And we as leaders have an awesome responsibility. Hebrews 13 brings it out. It says, submit to those who have the rule over them, for they watch for your souls as those that must give an account. God holds us in as leaders, pastors and leaders, elders, in high with high responsibility on our shoulders to lead God's people because they're His. They are His church. And we are just to be the shepherds. We're to be the feeders. We're to be the guiders. We're to be the directors of what God is doing so we can lead His church to fulfill the destiny. And that destiny can only be fulfilled as we walk in obedience to the will and word of God. Amen. You know what? I think of the children of Israel. They had a directive from God. Go into the promised land, right? And they could see it from a distance. They sent in the spies. Just check it all out. They were within takeover position. They were probably about a week away or 2 weeks away from reaching the promised land. But because of unfaithfulness, because of disobedience, instead of walking a straight line, you know, the shortest distance between two points is a straight line, they ended up walking in circles for 40 years. That generation never fulfilling and reaching the destiny that God had for them. I look at that and I say, Lord, I don't want to walk in circles. I don't want to just be like through the mundane of life, you know, get up in the morning, go through the routine of the day, go home, go to bed, next, you know. To me, that's very boring. There's no fulfillment in that. But when we get in touch with the Lord, when we get planted in the kingdom of God, when we are part of the body of Christ, we begin to understand what my purpose is, what the destiny has for me. And therefore, for me to enter and walk in it, I have a responsibility to embrace it. I have a responsibility to study it. I have a responsibility to learn about it. And then I have got a responsibility to do something about it. So God's church here on earth, I put it this way, is his vehicle on earth to demonstrate and to advance his kingdom. Did you hear that? You, me, his church, has the responsibility here on earth to advance his kingdom. Not our agendas, not our kingdom, not what we want, but God has saved us for a purpose. Amen? Do you believe that? You're not an accident. You're a person of purpose, known by God, planned by God, ordained by God, called by God to fulfill his purpose in the earth. And that purpose simply is, as we already alluded to in Matthew chapter 28, go into all the world. Our responsibility is to let our light shine before men. God is building his church. You and I are not perfect. We are God's construction zone. Can you receive that?
Yes.
You're God's construction zone. I'm God's construction zone. There's a lot of work going on in me still. I've been a Christian all my life. And then sometimes I say, Lord, what's going on? I don't feel like I'm a Christian at all. The thoughts, the feelings, the emotions, all kinds of stuff. And Paul talked about it in Romans. He says, you know, there's a tension between my flesh and my spirit. That my flesh wars against the spirit. My flesh whimpers and cries and doesn't want to do what God's called me to do. I don't want to go to church. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to pray. I don't want to worship. I don't want to be kind. I don't want to forgive. On and on. Where's that coming from? Well, you'd like read Romans 7. Paul, the great apostle, what did he say? When I want to do good, I do evil. Paul, come on, man. You've written how much? 2/3 of the New Testament? You're talking like that? When I want to do good, I do evil. When I don't want to do evil, I do it anyways. Anybody witness with that? I think we all do, if we're honest. Why? He says, I realize there's a law of sin that's in me. Oh, but Lord, you've forgiven me. I've accepted you as my personal Savior. Yes, but we're still in our humanity. We haven't left our head at the door. We're still human beings with all these emotions. And that's why God is moving on us continually. That's where he says in the word, work out your salvation every day with fear and trembling. We have to walk through our salvation. And we have to understand and see that there is a battle for our soul. The enemy never stops. Goes around as a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. He doesn't stop trying to destroy us. Amen? We fight these things. And we need to be alert to that. Paul said that in Ephesians. Chapter 6, we need to be alert to the schemes of the enemy, of the devil. Hey, who's he going after? He's already got the world, doesn't he? He's got them. Who's he going around as a roaring lion seeking who to devour? God's people, those that he doesn't have. That's his main target. Each and every one of us, in his eyes, we have a big bullseye on us. He's going to do whatever he can to destroy us. And he's going to try and work on God's church. He's going to just try and destroy us. And in the body of Christ, he's going to try and destroy us from the inside out. If he can't get us from the outside, then he's going to come from the inside. Through attitudes, through sinful thoughts, through temptations, and all kinds of things. So we need to be alert and aware of that. And so Paul said that. He said, listen, there's a war. There's a law of sin that works in me. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me? And then Romans 8. I thank God through Jesus Christ. And he says, I'm not going to be now no longer bound to the law of sin and death, but I'm going to overcome that by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that helps me overcome that law of sin and death. Why am I saying these things this morning? I'm just trying to remind us all of the warfare. That's why Paul wrote Ephesians 6, put on the weapon, on the armor, because we're in a war. The moment we accepted Jesus Christ, we enlisted in the army of God. And so we need to be aware of that. If he can get us comfortable in our way of life, if he can get us just walking around in circles for the rest of our life, he's achieved his goal of apathy, stopping the progress and advancement of the kingdom of God. Grace Church, don't get stopped. Don't stop in your advancement of what God wants for you. As I said, you're significant here, community. You're reaching because of you, who you are in the body of Christ. You're reaching a certain group of people. You're reaching people. People, each of you have a circle of influence. You can reach them for God, those that don't know the Lord. Those that know the Lord but need to be encouraged. We all have that responsibility. You are significant. You are his church. Each and every one of you. It's not about Grace Church building that people know in the community. It's about the people in the church. That's who the church is. Can you say amen? Amen. I am the church. Can you say that this morning together? I am the church. You are, whether you believe it or not. If you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are now in the body of Christ. You're part of the body of Christ. You are the church. And he is building us spiritually. What's the purpose of the church? Let me read these scriptures real quick. Just refer to them. Matthew 28, already said. Here's the purpose of his church. Here's why he saved you. Not just to take you to heaven. If that was the only reason he saved you, to give you eternal hope, then he should have got rid of us, taken us home the day we accepted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. But we're still here because he's two reasons. He's preparing a bride without spot and wrinkle. We talked about that this morning, my wife and I. And my wife's comment was, boy, there's still a lot of work to do. I don't think there's anybody on this earth that's without spot and wrinkle. Amen? So he's doing that. He's getting us ready. Praise God. We come here. We do life groups and home groups and teaching and all that. What's that? What's the purpose of that? Why are you sitting here listening to me this morning? Well, that's God's process to perfect us and to change us from the inside out to make us be who he wants us to be, which is what? Christians, believers. Christians is a reflection of who he is, Christ-like. Okay? So that's what he's doing. He's working in us to change us from the inside out so that we can go and make disciples. Matthew 28. Mark 16, go into the world, preach the gospel. Romans 1:16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. That's why, that's our number one goal. Number one goal is get ready. I got sidetracked. Number two, we're still here is because he calls us to do this. We're ambassadors. We're to be reflectors. We're to be representatives of the kingdom of God to the kingdom of darkness. We live in this world and we have opportunity and we're rubbing shoulders with the kingdom of darkness every day. Our responsibility is to bring the kingdom of light to the kingdom of darkness. And I'll refer to that in just a moment, how that's done. Pardon me as I start speeding up here because I'm watching that clock. So each of us are called and chosen for his purposes, the purpose that has us, the church, being a powerful, redemptive force in society, becoming the salt of the earth, the light of the world, and a city on a hill. That's who we are. That's who we should be. That's what we need to understand about ourselves, to get out of our comfort zones. A church standing for righteousness and godliness. If you're following the news, you know we are being attacked. The righteous kingdom of God is being attacked with the darkness that's of evil that's being unleashed in the world like we've never seen before. And we need to make sure we're rooted and grounded in the right foundation in order to stand. When the Hebrews says, there's a shaking coming. Paul said in Hebrews, there's a shaking coming. That which can be shaken will be shaken, and that which can't be shaken will remain. We need to be dedicating ourselves, and I'll give you some input on that in a minute, dedicating ourselves to be anchored in the Lord. The church must be strong in order to prevail, and she will. We are given the equipment to help us fulfill his purposes. Let us remember that. How's he building his church? I refer to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 10. We won't read it, but it's the Valley of Dry Bones. How many know that story? Ezekiel was taken, he saw the Valley of Dry Bones. And what I say use here is how he's building his church. He's building it by two significant keys that are important to be part of our lives. He's building his church by his word and by his Holy Spirit. We must use God's word as our measuring line, our plumb line. I like to say we need to use God's word as a filter paper. Everything we hear, everything we see, everything we wonder about, we go to the word of God to test it and prove it, make sure it's of God and not of man. And if we filter through God's word, filter paper, if it comes out, it's of God. If it doesn't align to the word of God, we've got to not move on that, put it on the shelf, let God work on us and see is it truly of God or not. So we need his word and the spirit. And that's what happened in the Valley of Dry Bones. When he saw that confusion, he saw the bones that represented death, confusion, chaos. God said, speak God's word to those bones. And he did. He spoke. And they all came together, bone to bone, sinew and ligaments and muscle, they came. But they were just laying there now as bodies, but they weren't completely alive yet. And then he said, speak to the wind, representing the Holy Spirit. And the wind blew, and what happened? They stood up. They came alive. The word and the spirit working together. That's why we need to be in the word all the time, studying the word, and we need the work of the Holy Spirit in our life to bring it alive, because it'll bring us alive to fulfill what God has called us to fulfill. Amen? Amen. So they stood up a mighty army. I like that. It says in verse 10, they stood up a mighty army. They went from death, confusion, chaos, nothingness, to a mighty army. Identity. There was a new identity that was placed upon them. They were identified. Now they were not somebody with purpose. And if you ever seen an army marching, I wrote these words down as I thought about it. These words popped in my mind. When you've seen them marching, they can be very intimidating. I don't know if you remember, but there was years ago at the prison here in Abbotsford, there was an uprising. And they sent in, I don't know if it was the police, army, whatever, they sent them in. And they had a news clip showing them going into the prison. And what they did, they were united. They were lockstepped. They were tight together. They had their glass shields. They had their sticks. And as they marched, they banged together. And it just created, as I watched that, it was like, ooh, this is eerie. I hate to be the prisoners in there right now. To hear that, to see that united front of guards coming, and to hear that, and to see how one and united they were, and they were not backing down. They were coming toward them. And they dealt with the insurrection. We are a mighty army, and we need to see ourselves. Grace Church, you need to see yourself as an army. And here's what God dropped in my heart last night. And I was sharing this with Pastor Ryan, so you know that I bounced it off him. Know the vision of the house, number one. Know the vision. Which comes down from the leadership as we wait before God. Vision provides direction. When you know where you're going as a church, I'll tell you, God dropped this, I'm getting sidetracked here again. God dropped this in my heart. Vision provides direction. Direction invites obedience, invites commitment. Commitment demands obedience. Obedience then incites action. Once you have vision, once you know where you're going, you get on board, you get aligned, you get involved, and you serve. What's the whole point of the vision? It's God's vision that's telling us as a church, hey, this is a destiny, the promised land. Don't walk in circles, but go forward. The Lord said this to me, to share with you. Don't let the enemy get a foothold in this place, trying to stop the advancement of this house. I'm just the messenger, okay? And then these words came to my mind. Be alert, be on guard. Paul talked about that in Ephesians. And then this, close the gaps. Close the ranks. You know what I mean by that? Become to link arms together. Be like those marching soldiers in sync. In sync, lockstep together. Because as you do that, there will be advancement, there will be support, there will be unity, there will be fulfilling of the destiny. Challenging. But God's got a plan and purpose for us. His word and his spirit. There's so much I can say on that. But I'll just leave that. Those two work, and we need to be have a sensitive heart, a humble heart, to receive and hear what he is saying. Read Isaiah 43:18. We won't go into it, but the prophetic word was, I am doing a new thing. That was the admonition. Forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. Don't dwell on traditions. Don't dwell on past agendas. Don't dwell in the past. God's doing a new thing. He's progressive. He's advancing forward. He's taking us in new territory. Making a way, he says, I'm going to make a way. Jesus is the way. In the desert, that's our world. He's going to create streams. It's the Holy Spirit, the raging water flowing everywhere, touching everything in its path. Wild animals and jackals and owls are going to honor him. That's the unsaved receiving salvation. Hallelujah. Drink, and he's going to provide drink for my people. That's refreshing and growth. Proclaim my name. That's the salt and the light. Read that. That's powerful scripture. He says, I'm doing a new thing. Forget the past. Move forward. And here's what our response needs to be. We must be submitted to him for him to build us into what he wants us to be. Okay, hear that. So we can do what he wants us to do. Being precedes doing. Our hearts need to be right. Our hearts need to be created and changed and molded by him. We need his heart beating within us. We need the passion. We need to have a passion for Christ, which will equate into a compassion for people. It's all about people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let's make sure we understand the vision and purpose of the church, of you and me. We're to be that salt. We're to be that light. We're to be that which demonstrates the glory of God. So we must submit ourselves so he would, that would allow that metamorphosis to take place within us, where we're changed from the inside out, where we're not just doing things, but our heart is full of evil and wicked and who can know it, but we're just doing things to make ourselves look good. No, the doing should come out of us being who God wants us to be. We're changed from glory to glory. Proverbs 4:23, above all else, guard your heart, for it's the wellspring of life. Where our heart is at affects our actions and what we do, is what he's saying. Submission for him to change us from the inside out, to help us be who he wants us to be that church. Here's our response. Here's four words I'll leave with you. It needs to involve decision. Joshua 24:15, choose this day whom you will serve. Number two, dedication, Colossians 3:1-4. Okay. Hearts and minds are set on things above. Put him first. John said, he must become greater, I must become less. Number three, discipline, Philippians 3:12-13. I press to take hold of that which Christ took hold of me. Forgetting what is behind, I press toward the goal. Are you sensing the spirit here? Number four, devotion. Matthew 5:16, hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. I mean, spend time with him. Run after him. And then this scripture. Listen, this is probably, and I'll close with this scripture. I don't know how long it'll take for me to get through it, but I'll close with this scripture. 1 Timothy 6:11, but you man of God, you woman of God, you young person, those who belong to God, his passions and objectives are subordinate to those of God as one who declares, follows, and upholds the way of God. This term indicates soul dedication, no compromise. That's who a man of God is. We have to think, are we a man of God? Are we a woman of God? Whose are we? Who do we belong to? Who owns us? We've been purchased by the blood of the Lamb. We belong to him. Who are we submitted to? Whose will is our dictate or rule? And he says, flee from these things. That word flee is a very interesting word. Flee, like how it comes with the word fugio. The Greek word fugio, and it means We'll get the word fugitive from that word, by the way, fugitive. Okay, think of a fugitive. How many saw that old movie with Harrison Ford, The Fugitive? Remember that? If you've seen it, that's my era, way back when. But there's been other movies that have the same principle. But you get caught up. You get caught up in the feeling of a fugitive. He's running. He's been falsely accused, and they're hunting him down. The police are hunting him down. And he's trying to prove his innocence, and he's running. He's trying not to be captured. He's doing everything in his power to get away from being captured and prove his innocence. And oh, man, you just feel that tension. He was not going to get captured. And that's what this word means. Flee from all of these things. It's talking about one particular context, but it applies to all areas of sin and issues of our life. Flee like a fugitive. Don't get caught in the traps of the enemy and the snares of the devil to try and keep us from reaching the destiny that God has for us. He says, flee like a fugitive. But we got to replace it with something. He says, not only flee, but now pursue. So you're going to flee something. What helps us flee towards something else. And he says, now flee these things and pursue. Okay? Pursue what? What does that mean? Pursue to capture like a hunter. How many hunters have we got here? Got any hunters? No, no hunters. Well, we got some hunters in our congregation. And I'll tell you, they pull out all stops to make sure they get their moose or to get their bear up here. Bear, pardon me, bear. I saw you drinking there, and I don't know if maybe that hit me. I don't know. Bear, scratch that from the tapes. Deer, maybe bear and deer came out beer. I don't know. Oh my goodness. To capture, do everything in your power to pursue and to capture. To capture what? Listen to this. He said, pursue righteousness, which is God's lifestyle. The correct standing before God. There's some scripture there. You can, if you got the notes, you can read it later. Correct standing before God. Demonstrate it toward others. Matthew 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds and give glory and honor to God. What a powerful scripture. Sometimes we think, well, I can't preach the gospel. I can't be a Pastor Ryan. I can't be a missionary. You know, I can hardly talk publicly. No, you don't just need to, you don't just show the gospel and spread the gospel by just declaring. You can also show the gospel by demonstration. How do you live in the community? How do you live on the work site? How do you live at school? How do you live at home? How do you live in the marketplace? How do you live? What is emanating? Are people seeing the love of Christ? Are they seeing the forgiveness of Christ? Are they seeing the joy of God Christ? Are they seeing the peace of Christ? Is it coming out of you? Are you demonstrating it? It's a challenge when you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off. Oh, you know, we use that as an illustration, but there's many other things too. You know, get how easy we can get offended. Righteous lifestyle. He said, we got to pursue godliness, God's nature. Created us by the word and the spirit. We talked about that earlier. Changing us into his image. He says, pursue faith, which is God's values. Okay? Kingdom value versus world's value. Biblical correctness versus political correctness. We're gonna, you know, what's our value system? God's values. A thorough persuasion of and reliance upon God, manifest it toward others. Love, pursue love, God's passion. Demonstrated of giving, serving, sacrificing love. Benevolent affection toward God. Endurance, pursue endurance, God's strength. Depending on him, not on self or man. And then gentleness, God's heart. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. The power and strength under control. His attitude toward his creation, which is other-centered. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. A person with this quality is not easily offended, helps with positive attitude to correct faults, and rules one's own spirit well. That's God's heart. And so that's those points that I just gave you are crucial in being our response of submission to him as he builds us. We need to have that Are you hearing my heart this morning? We need to have that kind of spirit in us, that heart in us. Lord, I'm not content. And I say that to the Lord all the time in my 7 years journeying on this earth. Lord, I'm not content. I'm not satisfied. I want more of you. I got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Lord, I want to do more for you. Lord, I want to let my life count for something. Not for myself, not bringing accolades upon myself, but leaving a legacy that brings glory and honor to him. And for souls to be brought into the kingdom of God. That's the number one thing in the heart of God, is the salvation of souls. Like I said earlier, not about our agendas, not about our own label or anything like that. It's about the kingdom of God going forward. Amen? For us to affect the world, we need the supernatural power of God in our lives. We must allow the Word and the Spirit to change us into what God wants us to be. He has promised his presence to be our help. Musicians, you can come forward. We must respond humbly and willingly, deciding, disciplining, dedicating, and devoting ourselves to him. We are under construction. We are God's construction zone. And it may involve renovation. It may include tearing down a room in our life, tearing something down, renewing something, reconstructing something, attitudes, whatever it might be. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to search that, let the searchlight of his word come upon us. A process to become all he wants us to be in order to do all he wants us to do. I heard that this week, this phrase. He wants us to be a part of his work, not apart from his work. Did you get it? He wants us to be a part of his work, not apart from his work. Let's not develop a want list from God, but let us discern what his need list is for us. What do we need in him? And that's what he's working on us, to help us to be his church, to let his light shine, to go into all the world. Heavenly Father, we just bow our hearts before you this morning. Lord, we thank you for the salvation we have in you. We're grateful, Lord, that you saved us. We're grateful, Lord, that you moved by your Spirit, the Word and the Spirit working on us, Lord, and we responded in obedience, and we discovered the life in you. But now, Lord, we've also discovered this purpose. This life in you is a life of purpose, not only getting us ready for eternity, but, Lord, there's work to be done. Your church is that conduit. Your church is that pipeline. Your church, Lord, is that conduit and flow, where you flow by your Spirit into the world through us. We are that channel. Help us, Lord, to grasp that this morning. Help us to understand that. Help us, Lord, that we rise as an army, link to link, not only in this house, but with other houses, churches across this community, where we link together, we respect and we honor and we love, because we're all part of the body of Christ, uniquely made and uniquely placed in this community. Help us, Lord, to link arms together, to walk in lockstep. Lord, where the enemy fears us, and we don't fear the enemy, because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Lord, I pray for this place. Lord, we thank you for Grace Church. We thank you for everybody that makes it their home. They are the church. And Lord, may your Holy Spirit, Lord, as they move forward, because you are a progressive God, and we want to be in lockstep with what you are doing in this age that we're living in. Lord, there's work to be done. There's souls to be saved. Lord, help us to understand. Help us to see what the vision is. And help us to walk together, come in alignment, Lord, with a vision that you have for us to reach the destiny, that destination that you have for us. Bless this house. Bless Pastor Ryan and his family. Bless the leadership. Lord, bless everybody that serves in this house. Lord, just work within them to create within that vessel of glory and honor that brings, Lord, recognition to you and to the kingdom. Lord, this is what people in this world need. They need to see Jesus. Just like the Greeks of old that came, they said, we want to see Jesus. We heard about him, but we want to see him. We want to see him in action. Lord, the world sees you in action through us, the church. Help us, Lord, to embrace that this morning. Bless the word. Encourage us. Bless each person, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.